Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Okay, I just don't enjoy griping all the time. I feel like that's what we do right now whenever we talk about Royals or baseball. Man, I mean, the team's 21 games under 500. I guess that's what you do. But Marco is pumping a little sunshine here. You got some positive numbers for me, you told me. Plate discipline's gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder how much that is because the hitters are embracing Zoom Waltz approach. How much of it is getting guys like MJ Melendez, who's been walking quite a bit, and Vinny Pasquantino up here has been walking quite a bit. Maybe a little bit of both. I mean, and those guys have been learning under the Zoom Walt program,
right?
Come before he joined the big league team. So there's a positivity. I think I can hear most Royals fans going, okay, then why don't they try that with a pitching staff?
Right. Well, that's, I think.
Maybe they don't have an Alex Zoom Walt.
Maybe they
that
don't.
That they believe could come in here and get results.
More importantly, one of the things we were talking about.
So the
about
offense has been better.
With Alec Lewis yesterday from The Athletic, the buy-in's been good. I mean, that's the point. I mean, you have to have the buy-in when you do a change, and the buy-in's been good on what they've been teaching and preaching here on the offensive side, and you're seeing some results at the major league level. And I don't know the right answer. I mean, it seems obvious to everyone say, well, go ahead and just get rid of Cal Eldred. It's not working, whatever. I don't know if that's the right answer or wrong answer. I don't know what Cal – I'm positive Cal Eldred is not telling people, you know what would be really good here? Walk a couple of guys, man. Just walk a couple and groove one. Just see if they can do it. He's not preaching that, okay? That's not what you do. How about, hey, you know what this? How about this? How about you throw some wild pitches?
And you know what? Don't command your fastball. Not that important.
No reason to. No reason to. Just go up there and try to.
Just throw as hard as you can. Hope it gets close.
He's not doing that. That's why, in the end, I always look to the player first. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying that coaching can't help, because coaching certainly can help players. And just what it could be, a little mental tip. It could be a physical thing, like, you know, where to place your hands.
Look, if you're saying that coaching doesn't matter, then we can't give
exactly.
Zumwalt any credit for the improved offense.
It definitely matters. But you also mentioned there's some different players in the lineup as well. So there are different parts to it. But I think that the best coaches are able to get the best out of the best players. And in that could mean, like, some guys don't need a bunch, but they may need a little mental tip here or there. And some guys, like, you know, Mike Boddicker made a great Major League Baseball career without being able to throw the ball as hard as these kids do today, because he learned how to pitch. And quite a bit of it was, I'm sure he had a little coach here or there. It can help you with doing those things. But in the end, it's the dude holding the baseball is responsible for what he's doing with it. some guys don't need any coaching at all. Some guys don't want any coaching. Some guys don't want to sit there and look at 17 hours of video and have some sort of thought where they have to look down at a card to see what pitch to throw to a certain guy with a two-out situation in the eighth inning. Some guys don't want that. Some guys thirst for it, man, and they want all of those things. And that's the biggest job for a position or a coach, hitting coach, pitching coach, whatever, is to find out who needs what and be able to give them what they need. Some guys don't need it, so don't give it to them. Some guys need it. You have to give them all the information they want, and they want to be coached a little bit differently. And I don't know if Cal Eldred is good at that or not. I don't know if he is. So I can't tell you the guy should be fired or whatever.
No.
On the numbers?
No.
They should all be fired, okay? Because the numbers are bad. They're going to lose on pace again for 100 losses. The draft picks haven't come through the way you want them to do yet. The attendance is down. I mean, all of it. I mean,
I guess what I want to see is, like, I'm going to confess something right now, because I lose my baseball street cred for admitting this. I don't know what WRC plus means. Can somebody give me the what the legend on that means? Like, I understand what walk percentage means. I understand what strikeout percentage means.
So it's the statistic that runs created.
Runs created. What's the W part stand for at the beginning of that?
Weighted.
Weighted runs created.
The internet
plus
tells me that. So.
Yeah, weighted. Okay. So, hey, that seems like an advanced metric, the kind of thing that I'm asking for. Like, so you give me these numbers here, and they show, hey, since June 8th, the team is trending upward. Because if I just look at the overall stats for this team offensively, they're somewhere between 9th and 12th in the American League in all the stuff that seems to me like it matters, like OPS, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, things like that. But if you could tell me, hey, look, since June 8th, over the past month, they're trending in the right direction in some significant ways. Okay. Now, can somebody do that for me with some of the pitching?
I don't think those numbers are as good.
Like you guys were saying earlier, like this is a good segment. Like, squinted as you could.
Yeah. If I squint, can I find something like that? And that's an honest question. I'm not saying that you can't, because I obviously am not the biggest statistical researcher out there. I don't even know what all these letters stand for sometimes. But, like, the eye test isn't, like, just watching the games and reading the box scores is not telling me that there's progress being made in that regard right now.
No. It doesn't look like it to me. I mean, you sit there and just look last night. I don't care what advanced metrics say. Jackson Kowar can't come in and walk people.
I do care what the advanced metrics say. If they can,
can be good for you.
That'd be great if they told me,
there's no advanced metric that last night shows any progress for Jackson Kowar.
Right. Right.
Because he came in and they were in a tight ball game and he walked people and gave up runs. That's bad news.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's weighted runs allowed were, but it seems like, you know, you walk two guys and you got rocked a little bit. That's bad.
That's bad.
Whatever this, you know, advanced stats tell me.
Maybe there is a stat out there that says that the pitching is getting better, but I don't think there are, because otherwise it would be getting better. I mean, we could see the offense is getting better. They're getting on base, they're scoring some more runs.
Merrifield seems to have picked it up since Zumwalt took over.
Yeah. Benintendi's been good the whole time. Bobby Witts seemed to be trending up.
Well, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, that's important for this team. This is a good developmental year.
They said the x-rays were negative, by the way. People missed it.
Got hit in the
hand. The hand with a pitch. They did x-rays, said negative, but there was swelling in the finger. So set him down for however long you have to.
Yeah, that's discouraging. You don't want that to happen to any player, but especially someone who's going to be your face of the organization type player who you feel like can be a really good player. You don't want to have those things happen. So I'm glad the offense is getting a little bit better, but it's not enough, because as I said, this does not take too much into it. I just checked it again. The Pythagorean win-loss, even with last night losing 9-7, the amount of runs they've scored and the amount of runs they've given up, they're supposed to be 29 and 50. You know what they are? They're 29 and 50.
Yeah.
So, if they're doing better on offense, the pitching is not getting better, or they would be doing better and winning more games. I guess they have won more games, honestly, percentage-wise, because they were on pace to lose 110 games. Now they're on pace to lose 102 games. So that means they've gotten better over the last month and a half.
I'm looking at the WAR for some of these players on the team.
It's atrocious.
Andrew Benintendi's got the best WAR on the team at 1.9. That's for position players. I'm not looking at the pitchers right now. Michael A. Taylor is second with 1.8. We didn't talk with Buster about him as a possible trade chip, but I think that's got to be in the mix too, him being a trade chip. Salvador Perez, who's out for the foreseeable future, is third at 0.9, and this is with him having a pretty down year. Okay, then Bobby Witt Jr. is tied for fourth at 0.7 with who? He doesn't play on the team anymore.
Carlos Santana?
Carlos Santana. All we did was talk about how terrible Carlos Santana was and how much they needed to trade him and get Pasquantino. Here he has the fourth highest WAR on the team.
No, WAR takes into account defense and other things. Like Hunter Dozier seems like he's having a decent year. His WAR is minus.
Because he's having to play in the field.
Yeah.
If he just got to DH like Santana. But see, the thing is, like, you should get a chance to have a higher WAR if you play in the field because
you're out there trying.
You can't add to your WAR defensively if you're DH, or you can't take away from your WAR.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like he's having a pretty nice year, right?
Dozier,
he's got 8 homers.
He's got 746 OPS.
746.
No, it's not anything great.
It's not great, but it doesn't seem like that's less than replacement level.
No,
but his WAR is. Is minus.
Edward Olivares has the highest OPS on the team.
And he's not a daily player for the entire
year.
He's
got 63 at-bats. Benintendi is second. Michael A. Taylor's third. And then Dozier. Then Melendez. Then Bobby Wood Jr.
And that's what, you know, some people hate these kind of stats. But what those stats add up to is 29 and 50. If you have a bunch of guys who have good WAR, they're better than a replacement level. I'll bet if you looked at the Yankees, they don't have a starting player in their offense who has a minus WAR. They're probably all pretty good. And you know what they've done? They've won freaking 58 baseball games this year because they have a bunch of players who are playing well. Their starting lineup is unbelievable. If you go click through those guys, there's like, I think all but two of them have had like a 30 plus homer season in the major leagues. And most of them have had 35, 40.
Aaron Judge's WAR is the best on the team, 3.5.
Right, so he's looking at like having a 7 WAR for the year. That's
DJ LeMahieu is 2.8. Mm-hmm. Gleyber Torres is 2.8.
Have we gotten to the Andrew Benintendi level yet? He's 1.9.
Jose Trevino is at 2.0.
And Andrew Benintendi was 1.9?
Yeah.
So far they've got four guys playing better than Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah. And that's it. After that, Josh Donaldson's 1.7. And it goes down from there. But they got 9 guys with a WAR of at least 1.
Yeah. And the Royals have, did you just go through there on their roster right now? They have
two?
Okay.
Two.
Well, that's why they've won 58 games.
Yeah.
And their bullpen is great, and they start
pitching's really good.
Look at those numbers, because the Royals' pitching numbers have got to be even worse.
Well, so, like, let's see. They got, from a pitching standpoint, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitchers with a WAR of over 1.
Mm-hmm.
7 pitchers with a WAR of over 1. Let's see what the Royals got here for WAR. Wins over replacement, wins above replacement, folks, if you're. Scott Barlow's 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Keller's 1.2. And that's where the list ends.
Brad Keller's 1.2 with a 3-9 record. The Royals haven't been able to turn that into anything worthwhile.
He's got a 4.24 ERA.
Right, but he's 3-9 because the Royals lose 9-7 and they lose 3-1. That's what the Royals do, and that's the stat that you can't figure out why that is.
I mean, like the third best WAR on the team is Brady Singer's from a pitching standpoint,
and he spent a month and a half not pitching because he pitched 3 times in a month and then went to the minor leagues.
Yeah.
That means the best is yet to come for Brady Singer.
Then it's Gabe Spire, Jose Quas.
Is Gabe Spire on the 40-man right now? Is he up with the team? I don't even know. Check today. I don't know if Gabe Spire, because Gabe Spire, like, they had a bullpen game once and he started that. I think he got a win or somehow. He did something weird. I don't know.
He started a game.
It was a bullpen game.
He took a loss.
I think he didn't win that game because it was.
Does that have two holds though?
There you go, a couple of holds. That'll get you a little slice of war.
Man.
So the little ancillary numbers all add up to something, and they add up to the fact the Royals are 29-50. That's what it is.
So it turns out they don't have enough good players.
Yeah, they're not. They don't have enough good players performing well. There you go.
Will some of those players become really good?
I don't know. That's the thing, man. Hey, listen, the Royals.
I think Bobby Wood Jr. and MJ Melendez are going to become very good.
I hope they do.
I hope MJ Melendez picks it up defensively a little bit.
He has to. And I hope Vinny Pasquantino finds his footing and gets.
Hey,
starts putting
I'm encouraged about Vinny Pasquantino because he's getting on base.
Yeah.
You know,
but that won't be enough for a guy who's 6'4". You need to hit the ball over the wall and some things.
But you know, like he's got an approach. Mm-hmm. He's not getting himself out by swinging at bad pitches, you know. And you're gonna have hot streaks and cold streaks, but you can get on base through. If you can get on base through the cold streaks, then you're still helping the team. You know, you're still. That's the most to me. That's still the most important thing in baseball is getting on base.
Yeah,
that is the most important thing offensively. I don't care what anybody says. Avoid outs. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that there's a finite amount of in baseball is outs. You got 27. You got to get 27 outs. If you can avoid outs, you're helping
find
your team.
Something, yeah.
And I'm encouraged about Pasquantino. And even though like Bobby Wood Jr. is not, he's not running away with Rookie of the Year or anything. He's doing well. He's doing well. I'm encouraged about those guys. I am.
Sure.
There's some positivity for you. How about
but then
that?
You look around and you're like, you know, why isn't one time have a Royals rookie in the last
just
20 years
blow up and be awesome right away?
Be like really good, and I think he's showing lots of time. But there's people in Kansas City are so thirsty for in it. Like he had a really nice night last night. He hit a home run.
Yeah,
he made a couple
good.
Of nice defensive plays. Then he got hurt. So that's Royals baseball. But like you know this. We search out like these every few days some really cool thing happening, and you look around at some of these other players. You're like every day, man. There's hitting the ball over freaking warehouses in San Diego and stuff like that with some of these guys. That just doesn't seem to happen yet with the Royals. But this city is hungry for it, man. People want to go out and watch the baseball games. They want to go, but you got to give them a reason. They're not just going to go out there.
Well, some will, not enough.
Not like what we looked at. This is a prove-it city, big time.
But if you do, if you show even a little bit of winning – This town will go nuts for you. We were just talking about that earlier with the conference realignment stuff. You know, KU basketball fans will support that team to the end of the earth. You know, K-State football fans will support that team to the end of the earth. All it took was a little bit of winning, and Manhattan was like, we love this team.
Yeah. On the sports that aren't as good there, like when Michael Beasley was there and Jacob Pullen, they were at the basketball games going crazy. Yeah. And when Todd Reesing and Mark Mangino had it going, you know what?
50,000
people jammed in out there watching football games.
Yeah.
And right now, Kansas football is a prove-it thing. Mm-hmm. K-State basketball is a prove-it thing. Yeah. And Royals baseball is 100% a prove-it thing. You better prove it. We're not going to go out there and spend money to take this product in if you're not going to be good.
Yeah. Now, I was talking to a buddy of mine that works at Sporting, who's a KU guy, and I was like, I like this Leipold. I like him. I think he's going to be good. We got a good coach this time. He goes, yeah, I've heard that one before. Yeah,
I'll check me when someone's 4-2
like,
and I'll get up there.
Seriously, this time they had a real coach.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Case, they got a big recruit in football yesterday, by the way.
Avery Johnson. Mays, Kansas, top.
Former home of Ben Pringle.
He is the number one college football recruit in the state of Kansas. Interest from lots of programs.
Yeah.
Chose K-State over Washington, Oregon, future Big 12 schools.
Or ACC schools, we don't know.
Or maybe Pac-12.
Won't it be so perfect if Oregon is in the Atlantic Coast Conference at some point?
Because they're right there on the state that touches the Pacific.
On the Atlantic Coast.
But Avery Johnson, that's two big recruits for Chris Klieman over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The running back from
big
Derby,
time.
The quarterback from Mays. And that's the important part. I was looking last year in like the top 8 or 10 players in Kansas. They all went out of state to other places, and K-State's got two of the top three right now committed. The second kid on most lists is John Randall Jr., who's getting recruited by a lot of places, and we'll see if he ends up staying home and going to dad school at KU, but we'll see. Don't know.
It was dad school for a while.
Yeah, you know, long enough. He's a Jayhawk.
He was part of a big win against K-State.
There you go.
The old chicken in the basket is what Terry Allen called it. the hook and ladder. He called it the chicken in the basket. I was like, what?
Come up with the name. Why not?
That's another big recruit out there. Called the hook and ladder the chicken in the basket, but they got him with it. All
That's
right.
What they call it up Northern Iowa.
No chicken in a basket. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, so we're still monitoring the ever-shifting landscape that is college athletics.
That's some real Gruff Ruppin' right there.
That's real Gruff Ruppin', real with the real guitar.
Yeah. Luckily, the words aren't on that one. Not for everyone. Not appropriate for AM radio. A family show like it's this.
This is a family show.
Discuss that with you in a private meeting.
Happy to discuss it in a private meeting with you. How about this? Front Office Sports. Marco sends me this one, too. UCLA was on a trajectory to cut sports before joining the Big Ten per LA Times. UCLA racked up a $102.8 million deficit over the last 3 years. Now the school can make that much per year with a projected $1 billion Big Ten media rights deal on the horizon.
Well, I do think, we think it's all great. Right, with a lot of these places, they keep doing stuff, but there are going to be consequences for some of this stuff. The money comes in, but if the sports don't work, they may cut them. And when they're talking about cutting sports, UCLA ain't cutting basketball or football or something. There's a fine line.
So when they say on a trajectory to cut sports, that doesn't mean like cut their athletics department out entirely. No. That means like we're going to get rid of our swimming program. We're going to get rid of our tennis program or something that's losing money.
A lot of these West Coast places play a lot of sports that maybe aren't. I'll read this. I'm on their website here. They play baseball, men's and women's basketball, beach volleyball, cross country, football, men's and women's golf, gymnastics, rowing, men's and women's soccer, softball, swim and dive, tennis, men's and women's tennis, track and field, men's and women's volleyball, and men's and women's water polo. Okay. That's a lot of sports. That's a bunch. That's more than like KU has, okay? I just read all those off. Let's see what KU sports are. KU sports has baseball, basketball, cross country, football, golf, track and field for men. Basketball, cross country, golf, rowing, soccer, softball, swim and dive, tennis, track and field, and volleyball for women. So you hear all those men's sports they have out there? Water polo, volleyball. All that stuff out there at UCLA, they don't do that, a lot of these schools. I think K-State runs one of the smartest athletic departments as far as, like, not having...
Being economically responsible.
Yes, with what they have. You know what I mean, sports, K-State? There's a level of number of sports you have to be a Division I program. They have baseball, men's and women's basketball, cross-country, football, men's and women's golf, rowing, soccer, tennis.
Women's soccer. Both,
yeah, women's soccer, not men's soccer. Track and field and volleyball. They're not running out there with like 24 sports or something like that. So I'm quite sure Front Row Sports or Front Row Media, whatever that's called, is not
Front Office Sports.
They're talking about like water polo.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what that is. These Pac-12 schools, I mean, like, Stanford's like, I don't know, UCLA and Stanford have like won more national championships than anyone, but most of them are in things that you don't know of.
Yeah, the story broke from LA Times, and it looked like UCLA athletic director Martin Jarman said, quote, if you love Olympic sports, you should be a fan of this move.
Yeah, because it's going to keep them around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we say this stuff's all about money, some of it's about keeping – programs around because that's what pays the bills. I mean, if you're running a women's soccer program in Lawrence, Kansas right now, it ain't making any money.
No.
You know, and I hope someday that it does. I do. Like, I hope, I would like to see all those sports just start to generate money. But really, the only ones that do are football and men's basketball. Some women's basketball programs can break even these days. And I'm a champion of it. That's why we're doing the Women's Sports Weekly segment here. I'd like to see all that stuff grow. But money doesn't grow on trees, you know, and you got to get it somewhere if you want to finance this stuff.
You ready for Stanford sports? Men's sports, baseball, basketball, cross country, fencing, football, golf, gymnastics, rowing, sailing, soccer.
Now, but they're funding that with all their Richie Riches, though, right?
Like the track and field, volleyball, water polo, wrestling. Stanford wrestles? Women's sports, artistic swimming.
Oh, that's the best kind.
Basketball, beach volleyball, cross. I mean, let me tell you something. They're not a Big 12 team plays beach volleyball, okay? So those are the kind of things that they've got field hockey.
And by the way, like, you know, if you
– Squash, women's squash.
If you are – you know, if you're the University of Kansas and you have these scholarships, we talk about whether or not the scholarships have value to the kids and all that stuff. You know, the athletics department cuts a check to the university for that scholarship. It's not like this university just goes, oh, okay, your kids can come to school here for free, right? The university still charges everything, so you got to cut a check. You know, you have to write them a check for the scholarship.
Separate company athletic department is paying for it.
And so those things do cost money. It does cost, it does hit the budget.
And that's why we're having like a whatever $1 million endowment, and you have people donating to athletic departments and all that helps fund. Now, there's no scholarship for Stanford fencing. I mean, I don't know if there's like even half a scholarship for the whole thing.
Yeah.
But they, very smart kids, academic scholarships, and they, if you are an athlete, and this is the part of that bothers me about whatever with college athletics, whether a scholarship has value, blah, 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 all that crap. I don't care about that. But the value, the real value that you can't even calculate that comes in, if you're going to whatever school, let's say you're playing baseball and there's only 12.7 scholarships for a baseball team, there's 40 guys on scholarship, and you're going to get an eighth of a athletic scholarship. They have people who are counselors and academic people in the athletic department that will help you find all of the other money you need to work your way through it. You're not doing it on your own. Where John Q. Public is out here with their kid who got an okay ACT score and they got into Mizzou and they're not getting any like a $1,000 academic scholarship or something like that and nothing else from like the athletic department. They're just a student. You're on your own. I mean, University of Missouri has all kinds of great counselors trying to help you navigate these things, but they got 30,000 people they're trying to help. The athletic department has several hundred athletes and a team of people working one-on-one to help you find any Pell Grant money or any housing money that you can get or any other scholarships that you can find a way to weasel through the athletic or the school itself. You can't even hardly put a dollar figure on what that's worth to a parent, right? Because we talk about a full-ride football scholarship or a full-ride basketball scholarship. Almost every athletic scholarship that comes through a school is not full-ride. It's partial. But they got people helping those athletes find the other money that's out there, and they know how to find it. You're not just on your own. You know, some kids' parents are deeply involved. They want to help them. Some other was like, hey, you're 18, you're out of the house, you're on your own, you get your own student loans, you do whatever, and you got you want to go find a scholarship, go find a scholarship. You know, that they don't have anyone advocating for them like you do in the athletic department, and that's the part that gets lost in a lot of this stuff, where you have someone helping you find your way through that thing. It's a daunting task. Marco, you just got out of school. It's hard, right? Trying to find someone at a big school like KU, they want to help you the best they can, but they got a whole lot of people on their schedule they're trying to help. It's just different if you're an athlete.
At 20,000 people in your undergrad, they're only able to give you so much one-on-one time.
Right.
Let's hear from Reese Davis. I found some of his comments to be interesting here of late. He thinks the SEC should try to add Notre Dame and North Carolina.
If I were Sankey, I would hit Notre Dame and try to get them to join. Go after them. Yep. I would go North Carolina before Clemson, and I know that's going to infuriate, my Clemson friends. But North Carolina, that would be where I would go first.
Quickly, why?
Because I think they've got a stronger national brand. Now, Clemson's been great for the last 10 years in football. But you and I both know, Ian, that prior to that, they were a wonderful regional school.
Yep.
And I don't think they have the longstanding national brand that North Carolina does. Now, it doesn't mean that I wouldn't take Clemson. I don't want that misunderstood. I'm just saying in the pecking order, I would probably go North Carolina first.
So, well, here's what I take away from that. Now, this says that's one man's opinion, by the way. That doesn't, just because Reese Davis says it doesn't mean it's true. But think about if what he's saying is true, that North Carolina is more valuable than Clemson. Then does it really matter how good you are at football recently?
Well, North Carolina's been okay at football. They're not winning national championships, but...
No, Clemson's been one of the top five programs in college football for how many years now?
They've been
probably the second best behind Alabama.
And I think part of that goes to this. I'm not reading too much into what Reese Davis says here and trying to figure out his thoughts. But right now, like the SEC, you know, you want to expand the footprint. We were talking about populations. There's 10 million people live in North Carolina. You know, and in South Carolina, probably don't want Clemson in their league because South Carolina is the fancy school in South Carolina, and Clemson is that's the ag school. Okay, it's called Clemson. It's a public school. It's not a private university or something with a fancy name. It might as well be called South Carolina A&M or something like that,
or South Carolina Tech, or South Carolina State,
or something like that.
Yeah.
So the people in South Carolina, where is University of South Carolina? It's in Columbia. It's in the capital. It's not off in the woods over there by Georgia, where Clemson is. I mean, that's kind of what this part is about. And that's why when we draw these things out and we look at a map, we say just do this and do this and do this. There are so many other factors involved, politics, and I'm talking real politics, not just university politics. I'm talking politics, and people who hold state offices and governors and blah blah blah, where they went to school and all that crap. So, hey, North Carolina's a huge brand, and I think. Listen, I've never been to that Raleigh-Durham area where Chapel Hill and Duke are 6 miles apart.
I've been to Duke.
State's there.
I've been to Durham.
I've been to Charlotte before,
yeah.
And I think we all understand that Duke is Duke, and they're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver or whatever. But the number of people who roll out of North Carolina compared to the number of people who roll out of Duke with a degree, and that's blood sport there, right? Duke is by far the smallest of those the schools that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's because it's a small private university, and I'm sure they have plenty of fans, but I think gen pop, you know, regular folks in Carolina probably lean more towards the University of North Carolina or NC State than they do Duke. I'm sure they got plenty of basketball fans out there who are part of the thing, but the Carolina brand it's a deal, you know?
Yeah.
But just saying, hey, let's have them in the SEC. Sure. Why not? I think you want to do something. Big 12 ought to forget about Oregon or Washington, go get Notre Dame to join your league.
That ain't happening, man. Notre Dame doesn't want to join any league.
Well, you're allowing everyone to do your own
poached.
Third. You do your own third tier thing. Let them keep their dumb NBC thing.
Oh, that'll sell them. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen, of which you speak. I'm not familiar. Who do we have? Do we have a special guest on the line right now? Who is this?
Announcing his presence from parts unknown. Stephen St. John, are you awake?
Bite me.
Don't be like that.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
I will be like that.
What's that?
How am I? After the flight to Vegas and flight to Tahoe, I drove in a car with Soren Petro. That's how I am.
Did he drive or you rode, huh?
So, here's the funny part. So he rented a car, and so me and Ben piled in there with the I didn't know these existed. This is pretty much a one-person car. And it did not, I'm glad, I don't know, maybe Ben did, he's laughing over here, but if he has video of me and Petro squeezed into the front seat of this car, and then, and you know, I, and once I got in, there was no moving around. There was no moving about. I was there. It was almost like I was, you know, launching in a rocket. And Ben was in the back with all the equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Petro had told Ben something to the effect of, and Ben, correct me if I'm wrong here. He said, yeah, shuttle says it takes an hour. I'll make it in 30 minutes. And so.
Well, were you guys in a hurry?
Let me tell you something. He wasn't kidding. And here's the deal. I had no problem because I was squeezed into this car such where I couldn't move. I was part of the car. I was one with the car. What was that phrase he used with Volkswagen? Farfignugan?
Farfignugan.
It's all in Farfignugan.
Yeah, remember you were part. I was one with that car. I was moving with the car.
You were part
right?
of it. Yes.
Ben came down with a case of motion sickness in the back. Where he, right? What would you call it?
He was not feeling good.
After he was not feeling good after that
trip. Say that in German.
Because this is a huge deal. I knew what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, I'm not sure, did. And I felt bad because I said, Ben, look at that back seat. I can't get in there with that equipment.
Where was the big boss man? Was he not with you guys?
In a different car.
Okay.
Chad and Anna had a different car. Okay. But this was a very, it was a very tight fit.
What car was
even
this?
Even with no equipment.
What was this?
Was it a Mazda?
Mazda something.
Like a little compact SUV?
Here's the deal. If you have a lovely 16 or 17-year-old daughter, a wonderful car for her. If you have two portly sports talk show hosts, not a wonderful car for us. Because I told Ben I had to reach my hand out to Ben. I said, Ben, get me out of this front seat. My right leg had gone numb.
Well, at least you weren't in there for an hour.
But dude, let me tell you. Ben was not, he was not feeling good. He had lost his color. He was pale. And so, and it was a harrowing experience. Now he's walking. I'm not sure he's ready to talk about it. I'm sure at some point I'd like, maybe as a guest, I want to hear from him and what it was like to be in that back seat, because there was a lot of wild accusations thrown at other drivers. There was some cursing. There's some finger pointing. There was a lot said. It was, to me, very entertaining.
One of the great pleasures I've had
flights.
I have driven Seren home or back here to the station or to his house from KCI before, and I'm not a fast driver. Okay, I'm meticulous, I'm safe, and all those things.
Unless we're going to see Kid Rock.
Well, then we drove fast that day. Huh? But like, unsettled as Ben was in the back, that's as unsettling it is for Seren to be in a car where they're not going that fast. I love that.
Oh yeah, yeah. And let me tell you, this was the if you could just not even describe it and just show an example of the term hauling ass, that's what Petro was literally hauling ass up here.
And you made it safe and sound. And that's up the hill. Wait till you go down that hill to come home.
Yeah, oh yeah. And so it's like I have, like, my experience where I felt like Ben was when I, you know this, Lee, but when I rode in the backseat of a car driven by Jason Anderson down at the Super Bowl in Miami, and I've said very, very plainly, if it's 20 miles, I'll walk before I drive with Jason Anderson.
And that was in a van, too. Because there was a lot of room. You could not farfignug in the van. It was very spacious. We had room to flow in that van.
Hey,
no
far from
you in
my
that van.
Daughters,
huh?
And if daddy doesn't make it home, I love you. You know,
we did our best.
Hey, it's important to save that 30 minutes, though. You know,
the house.
Those 30 minutes probably made a huge difference in your life.
Got the beer.
Well,
faster.
We did have dinner reservations, so it actually did.
Of okay.
So we got there.
What's on tap today? What do you got for us out there in Lake Tahoe?
Well, we're gonna do as many interviews as we can. We're here. We're set up. We're ready to attack the day. Ben continues to kiss the ground that he walks on. He's very happy that there's no car involved. And listen, it's going to be a bunch of ha-has and lots of fun. We'll get great interviews. We'll play a little grab ass for you. If not him, then who? A lot of content for you. We're going to have a great time up here, and we are going to bring Lake Tahoe to you, the listener, in Kansas City, wrapped with love.
I think Ben's going to be calling for the shuttle. He'll be. I'll be on the airport shuttle. Out of my own pocket. Ben, whatever.
Ben was trying to buy Xanax bars off the street last night. So this is where he's at right now. It's very.
I think I, you know what? Unsettled. South Lake Tahoe, good place for that. So you're good.
Yeah. Oh no, no. We will also have to talk about an interaction that we had with a drunk man at a 7-Eleven where Petro was not happy because he was being ridiculed for wearing a Royals jacket at a 7-Eleven last night.
So. Still repping him Royals,
like, hey,
baby.
I've only been here 24 hours, and I got lots of stories for you guys.
Oh, boy.
Stay tuned.
Oh, boy. Well, we get to wait until tomorrow for that because the Zone with the very fast-driving Jason Anderson is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow, Steve-O.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.